Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
Look at the gods, the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
If I can be serious for a minute,
for the love of God, stay away from the dipper dogs!
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny. DPP out on assignment this week. Maybe he is just trying to procure and curate some extra ganja for the rest of the Chair Shot Radio Network on this 420th edition of the podcast known as DWI. Joining me, though, as always, is the funky, phenomenally fresh trivia trickster himself, none other than AJ Balazs.
I had to bust out
No one cares what you have to say. You're on this show every week. We have guests. I do the same thing to DP. We do have our best friend. I can't play your soundbite, Dave, because DP has it. That son of a bitch. So this week, yes, send your hate mail to add it's me, DPP. Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
I'm here, guys. Excuse me, I got to hit this bong, but I'll be right back.
Yeah, fire it up. Come along. And we have I'm so glad that the entire Mindless Wrestling podcast is here. I reached out and I was hoping upon hope. I said, it'd be really cool to have the seven of us go over this fun thing we're going to do today. And look who fucked it up. It's DP. But DJ is here. Rob is here. And Jason is here. DJ, give them a little taste of the introductions you do so well on your show as they tune in tomorrow morning on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that I have on our show, starting first with, from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. Sir, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, and I'm finally awake at 7:25.
Hopefully that couch and blanket doesn't pull the tag team maneuver on you, brother.
Well, the blanket's on the floor right now. The blanket hasn't got one of the couch yet. But
get out the toothpicks for the eyes, Rob.
And last but never least, he is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is a man hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you tonight?
Wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. I am so glad to be part of this wonderful little Voltron thing we're putting together. And I just hope you're all feeling wonderful and blessed on this, the 1,284th day of the reign of our tribal chief.
Oh, wow. Well done. And let me introduce DJ, the beautifully bearded man that sits in the lower left of my screen. Follow that show at the Mindless Pod
on the app formerly known as Twitter.
There we go. And all of your favorite streaming networks every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern on Chairshot Radio Network. All right. I think we've BS'd long enough here that I can just go ahead and tell you to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. Makes a great gift as well. Get it in soft styles. A lot of people tell you that your nipples will thank you. So don't forget, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And don't forget about thechairshot.com. Plenty of news, plenty of opinions, great coverage by Andrew Blaz and Stephen Mitchell. Sports entertainment and sports entertainment. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. We'll be right back with a super fun time here on 420, the greatest high flyers of all time.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 420, and what a better way to celebrate the 420th edition by going ahead and figuring out who our top five all-time greatest high flyers of the wrestling industry are. And it's interesting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 different wrestlers got a vote from 9 different panelists, okay? So what I want to do now is I'll start with DJ. Everybody go ahead. Take your minute and a half, run down your list for the people, and fire away, DJ.
Number five on my list, I kind of had two guys I was going back and forth on. I settled on X-Pac, but it was a toss-up between X-Pac and Jushin Thunder Liger. Jushin Liger, not a spite on his contributions to the industry at all. I just had more exposure to Sean Waltman, and Sean Waltman himself would probably look at me like, you're fucking nuts. You know, you chose me over Liger. What are you doing? But I just had more exposure to his work than I did Liger. That being said, I did enjoy his feud with Brian Pillman back in the 80s, and that was my introduction to that style of wrestling. Number four, as we're sticking with that theme, Ultimo Dragon. I thought Ultimo Dragon was fucking amazing. And again, another guy who was my early introduction to that style. Number three, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. This goes without saying, hands down, probably the best worker, if not in the last 25, 30 years, that the industry has ever produced. And that's hard to argue, but I'll listen to any argument otherwise. Number two, Too Cold Scorpio. Too Cold Scorpio was an innovator with this style that a lot of people love now. When you look at a Will Ospreay or Ricochet or somebody like that, you're looking at the path that Too Cold Scorpio carved out for them. Number one on my list, Rey Mysterio. Greatest little man high flyer of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a great list, DJ. That's a good rundown.
Thank you.
Let's stick with the alphabet soup here. AJ, what do you got going on your top five?
There are a lot of names that DJ said that I'm like, oh, crap, I should have thrown those guys in there. But I'll go with my list. I'm sticking to my list. Number five, just because I had a little bit of exposure when I was a kid with WCW and then going further in WWE, it's, like you said, the greatest little man, Rey Mysterio. I remember somehow during video packages watching WCW of Nash throwing him like a lawn dart into the locker, not the locker, the trailer wall and everything else for the NWO stuff. He is the epitome of luchadors everywhere. If you see anyone with a mask, obviously people are going to be like, oh, that's Rey Mysterio. Well, he's the most notable one, but he's not the only one. But I have him at five. For four, and like I said beforehand, I asked if we were doing high flyers or light 'em up high flyers, and the rest of my list are kind of light 'em up high flyers. Because number four, Jeff Hardy. When you're a kid, you watch him, you see the Rainbow Warrior hair and everything else, the armbands. I guarantee you people that are my age, maybe a little younger, maybe even a little bit older, have tried at least one Whisper in the Wind and or a Swanton Bomb in their life. Number three, Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, whatever you know him as, whatever you see him as. there's a reason why his nickname was Airborne. He was that damn good in the ring, being able to do shooting star presses perfectly, flying all over the ring with enziguris, everything, you name it, he did it in the ring. Number two, the homicidal, genocidal, death-defying Sabu. His matches in ECW were brutal, but every time you saw him prop up that chair, do the moonsault, do a leg drop, do... It was crazy seeing him in WWE and doing all of these things perfectly without, like, anyone saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe, no, he was free to do his own thing. I don't remember that many chairs thrown at someone's head, though. That's besides the point. That's not why we're here. It's for his acrobatic ability. And that the three-point moonsault, as some people call it now, stepping up on the chair, going onto the ropes, springboarding off the ropes into a moonsault, just a thing of beauty. But number one, I gotta go with the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. He can contort his body to hit that five-star frog splash anywhere, not to mention great matches with Jerry Lynn and the aforementioned Sabu. Van Daminators, Van Terminators. He did a coast-to-coast before Shane McMahon made it cool. He was doing, he threw chairs at someone, and then he just did a spin kick because it just worked. It worked for his character. He was basically the man to carry the fire of ECW at the end of it. Like, he was Mr. ECW, Mr. Monday Night. You watched for Rob Van Dam because he did all of this fun spectacles, all of this awesome high-flying things, and when he went to WWE, he still did all those awesome high-flying things. TNA still did all of those awesome high-flying things. And even now in AEW, still doing all those awesome high-flying things.
Rob, Jerry Lynn almost made my list.
There you go. Rob, what do you got?
Okay, so I got at number five, I have Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express. And he did. He didn't do a bunch of elaborate, you know, 450s or 630s or whatever. But on the, he got so high. He got just amazing height when he jumped off the top rope, do a leg drop or drop an elbow or a knee, or he would do like an axe handle to the outside. And he did not have the physique of somebody who would be doing all of that stuff.
He had the hair, though. He had the hair, though. Come on, when he had that mullet. Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful
thing. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yes.
Good old beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Yes. And he could, and he could throw you to the outside to the floor really hard. You know, in the back in those TBS studios. And but yeah, he for me, I got him number five. And he's somebody that doesn't get mentioned nowadays, you know.
And it will be the last time he's mentioned on this show today, likely.
Oh, okay.
Great pick, though.
You children missed out on all the good times of the night.
I got like the three oldest guys I could find for this show, Rob. Come on.
Get off my lawn, Tony.
That's right. All right, number four, I got Shawn Michaels. And because, again, you know, for me, a lot of it is like the stuff he did with the ladder during those ladder matches with Razor Ramon. Just, they did innovative stuff with the, you know, with the ladder back then. Ladder matches were not this big spectacle for a long time until what they did, right? And I mean, because it used to just be you punched each other and you did your regular moves, and then, you know, you knocked the guy down and then you climbed up the ladder. and they completely changed the way those matches worked. So, and Shawn was a big part of that. Next, third, I got Jushin Thunder Liger because I saw the whole thing with Brian Pillman. I saw some of his stuff in, you know, Japan, and in the early 90s, I mean, it was just, again, seeing him was just a completely new thing. And he changed some of the way that, you know, people worked in the U.S. just from what he did when he came over here. Number three, you got Ricochet. To me, Ricochet is the best flyer right now. As much as a lot of those old guys complain about people doing flippy shit, Ricochet does it. He does it so well. And now that he's been in WWE and he can't just go around unhinged, and he actually has to, you know, fit his stuff within the context of a more structured environment. I think it's made him even better, because now, I mean, he just has that phenomenal next level of physical ability to do all that stuff. But now he fits it within the context of a realistic looking wrestling match. And number one, Rey Mysterio Jr., for the reasons everybody says.
Good call. Good call. No one with Brock Lesnar yet. Interesting. Dave, Dave, what do you got? Thanks for laughing at my joke, Rob.
Yeah. Number five is Brock Lesnar. No, just kidding. you got so many great high flyers to choose from, and just a tough choice. And like I said to you, Tony, when I messaged you, I looked at it as a combination of their success in the ring, their athletic ability, and I really focused on their finisher. And all these guys have a finishing move that stems from high flying. So my number five is AJ Styles. And, you know, with the 450 that he does with the phenomenal forearm has won him, what, two world championships in WWE right now. And I know I don't watch hardly any TNA, but I know he flew a lot more while he was there. So, you know, I give AJ Styles a lot of credit. Number four is RVD for the reasons that AJ Velasquez said. The guy can hit that frog splash from any place in the world. He got very innovative in combining mayhem, weaponry, and high flying. So, you know, obviously another very successful dude out there. Number three is Jeff Hardy, for a lot of the reasons you guys said, in addition to the fact that I'm sure he's parked. There's a lot of crossover on the list between high flyers and guys who are just high while they were flying, and Jeff Hardy probably qualifies for that. So, you know, another world champion, Swanton Bomb, the leaping off the ladder at, what was it, WrestleMania 16 or 2000 or whatever the hell you want to call it, was back then just something unheard of. And that one is one that kind of sticks with you. My number two is Rey Mysterio for all the reasons, like Rob's saying, for all the reasons you guys have said. There's not a lot you can go into detail. I mean, Rey is probably the purest high flyer of anybody on the list because most of his offense is stemming off from above the ring, that sort of thing. But my number one is my favorite, probably the only one who has him on here. It's the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Yeah, I mean, that Ricky Steamboat, I know, did some stuff originally off the top rope, but nobody revolutionized this stuff like Savage did. The double axe handle from not just in the ring, outside the ring, you know, grabbing that guy's head, jumping over the top rope, whipping him off there. And the flying elbow drop is the most lethal finishing move from the top rope in wrestling history. Unless you're Hulk Hogan or Ultimate Warrior, you're not kicking out of that thing. So there you go. That's my list.
All right. Jason, what do you got, brother?
Yes, sir. All right. So I will go through my top five real quick because I didn't put as much thought, although they ended up in a pretty much the order I put them in. There's some shuffling I would do. So just in some particular order. Number five, I had Rob Van Dam. Number four, I had Jeff Hardy. Number three, I had Billy Kidman. Number two, I had Ricochet. And number one, I had Brock Lesnar. So I'll tell you, no, I'm kidding. My number one, I had AJ Styles.
joke's got legs, bitches! Woo!
Honorable mention number six, though, Brock Lesnar, kind of seriously, because any other human being who did that moonsault exactly the way he did and ended it the way he did wouldn't it be no longer with us. And Brock Lesnar had a whole other second half of his career. So the guy's not human, and he at least tried it. So you know what? Number six, Brock Lesnar.
Let's also not forget when he was training in OVW, he would do that shooting star regularly.
Yeah, and like that, obviously, once what happened, you probably put that one in the back pocket for the rest of your life. But up until then, there was a reason he was doing it. But anyway, seriously though, number five, I just really quickly had RVD, because I like, number one, This is my top five. I was very in the Attitude Era. I was way more WCW and ECW kind of. That was my exposure. And then before Attitude and whatnot. So RVD is there because of the some of the reasons AJ says, not just because he does all the stunts, but the way he incorporates the stunts into the act of how he will go. Like, he's the first guy I remember seeing go off turnbuckles and go off, go off the ropes and things like that. And also the way he would incorporate, you know, the martial arts striking to kind of give more credence to the Van Damme part of his name. That always made me as a kid wonder if they were related. Probably delivered. Jeff Hardy, because when you're doing high flyers, some of them are just goddamn stuntmen, and there's no one better than Jeff Hardy. Because of all the stuff we saw him do and put his body through, my God. Number three, I have Billy Kidman. Because again, I was a WCW mark growing up, and I remember him in the Flock, and I remember just the. Like, as a kid, even watching some of the other people who were in WCW, Rey Mysterio and et cetera, and their incredible luchador stable or division. Billy Kidman was just so smooth with everything he did. And I also played with him a lot in the video games. Nice. So there is
you,
that.
You and Greg DeMarco are the only ones that have Billy Kidman on your list.
Smooth as a baby's backside, man. That guy was unreal. And then number two was Ricochet, pound for pound, probably the best high flyer currently. Because a few people have said now that he's had to adjust to the WWE style, he still is very impressive, but the stuff, how he gets to that very impressive stuff is also fun. And then number one, I had AJ Styles. Some of the same reasons I talked about, you know, RVD, just not only the things he does, but the way he incorporates it into his strikes. Like, obviously that phenomenal, combo he does with the Pele kick and, the phenomenal forearm is just a work of art. And the fact that he has helped and probably came up with a couple of cool different ways where he does the phenomenal forearm and he absolutely eats it, man. So he's had Roman spear him out of the air. He's gotten popped with a foreign objects. So yeah, AJ Styles. He was my number one.
Great list, brother. My list, I want to shout out to, Darby Allin. Definitely.
If we're going to be talking just because Darby just, Allin's I'm current just, day,
Jeff I, he's Hardy. Not on my list. He wasn't even considered.
Yeah, he's probably number seven for me. Wasn't because of the stuntman aspect. Like, he's absolutely insane
Wasn't even really considering him for my list, but just wanted to give him a shout out for recency bias. All right, my list. I have Rey Mysterio number one. We've all talked about it. I'm not going to talk about the top four of my list. I have Rey Mysterio number one. I have Rob Van Dam number two. I have Jeff Hardy number three. I have Ricochet number four. And my number five is my favorite luchador of all time, Hoovy Juice. Juventud Guerrera. That guy was electric back in the day on WCW in the cruiserweight division. He was my favorite guy in that division. Things he did, you talk about height and you talk about spin and perpetual motion. To me, he was so fun to watch. But yeah, Rey Mysterio, easily the greatest of all time, in my opinion, followed by RVD, Jeff Hardy, Ricochet, and Juventud Guerrera. Are you guys ready to hear the cumulative panel top five?
Rey
Mysterio won.
Nobody tanked Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is the only person. Well, Jason, didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
But he was the only person to appear on every list but one. Nobody else made eight lists. So,
Tony, I'm going to say this since it's live on air. I'm a little proud of the fact that you picked Air Juice of all people. I'm a little shocked and I'm a little proud.
I would record Raw from 8 to 10 and while watching WCW from 7 to 10. And then I would stay up till midnight and watch Raw. And then I would go to school the next day. Anyway, 17 people got votes. I'm going to give you the entire order list very quickly. Tied for 14th, Juventud Guerrera, X-Pac and Bobby Eaton. 13th, Ultimo Dragon. Tied for 12th, Matt Sydal and Jushin Liger. Tied for 9th, Ospreay and Too Cold Scorpio. Tied for 7th, HBK and Macho Man. 6th, Sabu. Before I give you the top 5, DP had RVD 1, Sabu 2, Hardy 3, Ricochet 4, Mysterio 5. Kenny Killa had Rey Mysterio 1, Ospreay 2, Ricochet 3, RVD 4, Jeff Hardy 5. And the only other person who had a list, besides Patrick O'Dowd, who had Greg's mom at 1 through 5 positions, was Greg, who had Rey Mysterio 1, AJ Styles 2, RVD 3, Jeff Hardy 4, and Billy Kidman 5. Before I reveal the top 5, I do want to go over the most funniest thing I seen today was you guys going all out, giving your funny fucking lists after Patrick put down Greg's mom, generational talent, 1 through 5. Rob replied, High Flyers, 1, Tony Khan, 2, Matt Riddle, 3, half the business back in 85. Dave replies, number 1, Savage's fanny pack, number 2, Hogan's fanny pack, number 3, Warrior's fanny pack, and Greg DeMarco did indeed reply to Patrick O'Dowd, she's legendary, in reference to his mom being a High Flyer. There you go. All right, here it is, the top 5. With 10 points out of a possible 45, AJ Styles. Number 4, with 15 points out of a possible 45, Ricochet. Number 3, with 16 points out of a possible 45, Jeff Hardy. Number 2, he's one of a kind, but he's number 2. It's RVD with 22 out of 45 points. And yes, the number 1 high flyer of all time with 31 points out of 45, Rey Mysterio Jr. Let's go in reverse order and just quick comments here on the top 5. Jason, what do you think?
Build the wall. Build. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I do want to apologize to Rey, but it's literally my viewpoint. And
for sure.
I just wasn't conscious when he was doing his big WWF stuff, and I've only seen him now in the comeback, and I barely remember him in WCW because I barely remember anything. But I remember Sting and I remember Billy Kidman for some reason. So there you go. So apologies, Rey. Probably if I'm making a list, he's probably number 1 of the greatest of all time. So anyway, but other than that, I think it went pretty well. What am I supposed to defend myself at this point?
No, just a quick minute comment. That's all. No big deal. You nailed it. You apologize to Rey Mysterio. Everything's right in the world.
I feel terrible. But you know what?
I feel terrible. Good for Billy Kidman. Sell it.
If I had to dock Rey just so Billy Kidman could get bounced up that list, I'll take that trade off.
Hey.
So you see, look, he didn't
it's your
remember
list,
Rey,
man.
He didn't remember Ray, but he remembered the two white guys. I mean, what are we doing
here? Oh, boy. Here we go.
Well, yeah, man. That's what I'm
listen.
Saying. That's a, hey, Rob,
Rob, Black History Month's over, Rob.
St. Patrick's Day next, Rob. We got St. Patrick's Day coming.
Now I
got
to get you, Tony, because the whole month you did not have me on this show. What is wrong with you, Tony?
Because I agree with Morgan Freeman that Black History Month shouldn't exist. That's why. Take that,
it's,
Rob.
It's racially motivated, Rob. You can count on that.
Yes, I'm such an asshole. Well, that part's true.
Hey, quick disclaimer. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast does not stand by, condone, or co-sign any of the views presented on this pod. Thank you very much.
This isn't the one you got to worry about. I may be an asshole, but I'm not a racist. You guys know that. Rob,
some of Tony's best friends are black, right?
Yeah. Right.
I got at least 3 good ones that you know about, so there you go.
Ray Cash, Chris Platt.
I'm not here to...
Same time.
We're not here to talk about me. Rob, what do you think of the top 5?
I wasn't listening when you read them.
Mysterio 1, RVD 2, Hardy 3, Ricochet 4, AJ Styles 5.
Episode.
One more time.
right. Ray was number one, right?
Ray
was number one.
Ray, RVD, Hardy, Ricochet, and AJ Styles.
That works for me. Good.
There we go.
Yeah, it's mostly my life.
What do you think, Dave? Sorry, Macho Man didn't make it, buddy.
It's all right. You're the only one that had him on their list. I mean, huh?
You're the only one that had him on their list.
That's fine.
But it's your list.
I'm the only one who's right.
Your list. It's like we say on Bandwagon Nerds. It's your list.
It's my list. I don't care. It's a solid list. I mean, Ricochet slipping in there, I think, is a good call based on just, you know, what he's from an athletic ability standpoint. Yeah, he needs to be there.
DJ? Also, Samantha Irvin.
DJ?
Well, yeah.
What do you think, Bud?
Who?
You, DJ. What do you think?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Okay. Man, look, Rob, mute yourself. No.
Happy episode 420, everybody.
I thought the list was really good. My list, personally, aside from Rey Mysterio, would sit at number one any day of the week. The rest of that list was kind of fluid. A lot of the guys brought up some people that I didn't even think of. You know, when I think high flyer, obviously AJ Styles should come to mind. Ricochet, I absolutely agree with everything everybody said. He's the best of this generation. When I look at overall impact on the wrestling industry, is why I came up with the list that I came up with.
No, and everybody took it a different way. Listen, like AJ said, he even asked to ask me if we're talking about the high flyers in the industry or people who are high and flying in the industry. AJ, what do you think of that final top five, buddy?
I mean, I like the top five a lot. I considered AJ Styles on there, and then I'm like, he doesn't really do that many high flying things anymore. I love the addition of Eaton. Kidman was not on my list only because I've seen enough of those botched 7-year itches that he landed on the ropes where I'm like, I can't do that. It just looks too painful. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I'm not saying it's not pretty. I'm just saying some of them look painful.
True.
But I liked Eaton being on the list. I hate the fact that I completely forgot Liger on the list, along with Ultimo Dragon. But I love the list all around. It just worked so well.
All right, well, before we let these guys go, everybody mute, because I'm going to play a little montage to what we just did here. Here we go.
Hold up. My mom's in there. Oh. She about to go to work, though.
Hey. I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
All right, we're gonna pull back the curtain a little bit here. DJ Rob and Jason are about to go record Mindless Wrestling Podcast. So, gentlemen, thank you for coming on with us here on DWI 420 and discussing the top five high flyers of all time. I appreciate everybody that gave their list. Jason, DP, AJ, Kenny, DJ, Dave, Rob, Greg, and PC. Unfortunately, you can't vote for the same person five times, Patrick O'Dowd, but you got a bunch of laughs. Greg's mom, she was a inspirational talent. Gentlemen, have a good show. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us. You guys enjoy the rest of yours.
I hope everybody had a good time. Those guys are off to record their podcast. DJ, Rob, and Jason hear them tomorrow morning. Chair Shot Radio Network. For right now, we're going to take a break. Dave, AJ, and myself, we're going to come back. I got two quick topics before we hit some trivia. And a last call with somebody coming back into the ring. The boxing ring. DWI 420, right here. Chair Shot Radio Network.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, DWI 420. Having a great time on over here with my buddies Dave and AJ. Guys, I got two topics I want to talk to you about. We'll start in WWE first.
Hold on. Aren't we going to do the top five matches to watch while you're high? Aren't we going to do that on this episode?
Oh,
so
that would
not
be,
on that
I,
list
we could do,
is
how about,
the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match.
Why don't Dave, save that idea. And we can do that on a special for April 20th edition. How's that
sound?
There
you go.
All right.
There you go.
Nice. Yes. So it's just a little precursor. 425. Oh, and I just happen to know this off the top of my head. 420 is actually on a Saturday this year. So good for us.
Yeah. There you
I
go.
Why you knew that?
Why would I know that? I don't know. Because if it's during the week, I take the day off of work. Anyway. Here it is. The gauntlet match has been announced, and the winner will face Gunther at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. Dave is already rolling his eyes. I feel like he doesn't like this at all. I'm not a huge fan of it, but we're going to talk about it because I think this is really the only gigantically relevant thing that came out. Tonight on Raw, on SmackDown, I'm sorry, we're going to have the confrontation between Seth Rollins and Cody in the Bloodline. We'll talk about that next week on DWI 421. Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, Big Head JD McDonagh, and Shinsuke Nakamura are the gentlemen's in the aforementioned gauntlet match. Dave, you already gave some emotional display here. Go ahead. Fire away.
I hate gauntlet matches, man. I mean, I really don't dig them. One out of 10, I'd say 2 out of 10 have something significant that happens where you say that was pretty cool. But, depending on how things go, but I just don't like this as a solution to the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther's IC title. This is what we're doing. Who's in the match again?
Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, Big Head JD McDonagh, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
See, like, why isn't Braun Breaker in this match? You know, that's kind of like one of the things I'm looking at that list. I mean, I think Chad Gable's probably going to win it. That seems to be where the momentum with the story that they want to tell, that sort of thing. But fuck, if you're going to do that, then, I mean, you know, Gunther's had every other title defense known to man in every other type of match, right? Triple threat, doesn't matter. One-on-ones, this and that and the other. Do like a ladder match or something crazy like that for the IC title at WrestleMania. I mean, there's a history of the IC title and ladder matches at WrestleMania. And I mean, you could do something like that. And even if Gunther wins, fine. It's something different. But I just don't like the idea of a gauntlet match to determine who's going to. It's like they just don't know what to do, who to put in that position. They have not responded. It was going to be Brock. Brock versus Gunther would have sold its fucking self and nobody would have complained about it. And now you're like, Braun's the closest thing you've got to a Brock Lesnar at this point. So I don't understand why he's not in this whole picture. He's on SmackDown. Ah, or that Braun as well. That would be an interesting match for sure, but I'd rather have Breaker right now. But I just don't like it, and I think that they're just scrambling and they haven't found their footing in the wake of the whole Brock Lesnar thing, because I'm pretty damn sure they were going in that direction. Either that or Okada. Was where they were going with that, and obviously one of those isn't happening, and now none of them are happening.
So that is going to be our next subject, by the way. And I feel like if it was Lesnar, Gunther was going to win, and if it was Okada, Okada would have won. AJ, how do you feel about what we're getting, though, in the gauntlet match?
I mean, I feel like it either has to be Gable or Ricochet in this, right? Also, I don't know why, with Gunther being the biggest dickhead in the universe right now with these Intercontinental Championship, why isn't it just a gauntlet match at Mania for the IC title? Why isn't it Gunther defending it first and then just either beating the hell out of the next four or five people that are in it, or he loses it at the end somehow or some way, and shenanigans happens or something. Like, that would be a bigger upset, where it was like, it had to take X amount of people in a row to beat me for this championship. That is a testament to Gunther. That makes sense to me. But no, we're going to have the... I hate saying this about Sami Zayn, but we're going to have... Oh, yeah, I forgot Sami Zayn's in it. Sami Zayn's probably going to win it. Never mind. We have the middest of mid-cards. Sami Zayn and Nakamura also included.
I'm going to tell you guys what's going to... Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, I'm just going to say this doesn't whet my appetite at all. If they made this just... If they made the Mania match a gauntlet match, that would have been so much better.
Okay, I'm going to tell you guys what's going to happen right now. So I hope you're listening. Gunther's going to lose the title at WrestleMania. Because there's a lot of main event talent that is not going to be around this summer. And Gunther is main event talent, and he needs to get moved up into that category. He's already has the longest reign. No one's probably going to pass that ever, I don't think. I like the idea of Sami Zayn. That's a definite possibility. People are always behind Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn doesn't need it. I like Shinsuke in that match, but that means Gunther holds on to the title, so I don't like Shinsuke. JD's got a big fucking head, guys. I mean, you can see it on television. Ricochet and Bronson Reed, I think, are going to do really well in their portions of this gauntlet match. I like both of those guys for two different reasons. Chad Gable will start first and pin or submit everybody, and people will go nuts for him, and they will get behind him, and Chad Gable is the one who would benefit most from the rub from winning this title from Gunther after the history they have had. I'm sorry I ruined this for everybody.
Can I say this, though, since we're talking about J.D. McDonough?
He's got a big fucking head, dude. Right now, if he was sitting
it's
in your chair...
It's fucking big live!
Yeah, if he was sitting in your chair right
can
now,
you see
it wouldn't
you
even
see
be
it
in the
space,
hole.
Right, honey?
Yeah, that and the Wall of China, bitches.
I was about to say, I was watching it
that's
at that...
It's the title for your episode.
It's already... I can't this week. It's already titled the High Flyer thing. It. What do you guys think about my booking by Tunney?
I like it. It actually works. I like it a lot.
If you're going with,
if he's going to lose,
said earlier, I said earlier how critical I was of gauntlet matches, but they can be used effectively. You saw like Seth Rollins a few years ago, another big WrestleMania moment that kind of launched off of a gauntlet match, Kofi Mania. So if you're going to go in that direction where you're going to have, like you're saying, Chad starts up number one, beats everybody and goes through an hour in the ring. And there's this epic moment. Maybe they are hoping for lightning in a bottle twice. Like the fans who are already already behind Chad Gable. That might be the thing that pushes it over the top to really create this compelling story. Gable versus Gunther. And if you do want to get the belt off of Gunther and put it on somebody who can benefit the most from it, if you have a Kofi Mania sort of momentum building, and I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination, this will be Kofi Mania part two, but it's analogous to that. And if you're going in that direction, then yeah, I like your idea a lot, Tony.
Greg DeMarco has talked about the tens of WrestleMania. WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 20, WrestleMania 30. A smaller than normal stature guy of the time winning. It was the WWE title for the three times. But this year, with the significance of that IC title, that's your lesser statured guy with a big win on the tens.
And then Damian Priest cashes in on him just to piss everybody off.
Wouldn't that be nuts? But I don't want him to do it on the ice.
No. Damian
Priest is going to be taking that
for the world heavyweight.
He's taking that title from Drew McIntyre. That's what's going to happen.
Drew wins it, and then as soon as it happens, he's going to take
maybe
it
not
away.
Right away. Maybe the Raw after Mania, big huge thing. Drew can be
it would be so much
again.
Better having Drew like all that shit about.
No,
Punk.
Let him. Drew's got to let have his one WrestleMania moment. He didn't get it in front of the fans, so you let him win the title and hold on to it and walk down the aisle with it at least.
Or Drew wins a title at Mania. Punk fucking attacks, beats the shit out of him at Mania.
Listen,
and Drew and Priest cashes in. That would
see,
be
if
beautiful.
You really want to get the most out of the Money in the Bank briefcase. At the end of night two, with Cody standing tall, the Judgment Day comes down, and he doesn't even get to walk the belt back to the thing, just like his dad got handed, taken right away. You want people to show up on Monday after Raw and talk about WrestleMania? That'd be insane if you want to put Priest over. It's not going to happen, but I'm just saying.
No.
There's a lot of heat there.
I still think it's going to be Drew beats Rollins for the championship, and then Priest cashes in, wins it, and then for like Punk's return and everything else, he has a feud with Drew, and he just goes, you know, you keep talking about how I never got my Mania main event, but I think I'd rather not have a Mania main event than have everything taken away from me in a single cash in. Talking all that shit, and then not, you walk away with nothing.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if Punk attacks Drew at WrestleMania in some form of... Get him in some manner, right? He's one of your biggest signings. I know he can't wrestle,
be
but
the
why
announcer.
Not get him involved?
Well, he might maybe, be the third announcer at WrestleMania. Who knows? I don't
I'm
know.
Okay with that.
He should be... He's probably... If he were to go just to go to fucking commentary right now... For the next 15 years, he'd be the greatest color commentator of all time, period.
I just feel like
pretty...
he needs to be involved in Mania somehow, some way.
He will.
You gotta get
him
involved.
He will. He wants to. You know he does. He's around.
And plus, when he was the color commentator for like the couple of months on Raw, he was great.
Right. That's kind of my you know, test case that you can point to. Last thing here. AJ. Dave, yes or no, is Gunther losing the IC title at WrestleMania?
It depends. It depends who's in there with him, Tony. If it's Gable, I say yes.
Okay.
If somebody else, no.
Okay. AJ?
If it's Gable, yeah. I'm with Dave. If it's Gable, yes. If it's anyone else, no.
How's that fence feel up your ass right now, both of you?
Pretty damn good. What are you talking about? Get off your high
horse. Never.
Your high
Bite
horse,
me.
Baby.
Do we have a scissor lift at work? And it, you know, even when it's all the way down, you're like standing on like a 6 foot high platform. And I go through the plant, right? And I have to go down this aisle past all the machines where all the press operators are. And I'm good friends with all of them and everything. But when I drive past them with this going on, I yell out to them every time I go by. I go, "Hail your king! Hail him now!"
I thought for sure you were standing on the top of the thing going, "Scissor me, daddy ass!"
Oh, God, the worst bullshit in the fucking business. Fucking AEW. Speaking of AEW, we're going to talk AEW on this show. Great transition, Dave. Feels like I'm sitting on a pair of scissors right now. I'm going to talk AEW. No, I kid. It's a gimmick. Kazuchika Okada shows up at Dynamite. Acts like he wants to get into it with the Elite, but ends up joining the Elite. I seen the contract numbers. If that's correct or not, I don't know. But what I saw was 3 years, $13.5 million for Okada. And after those 3 years, he's going to go to WWE for 2 years, and then he's going to go back to Japan. What do you think, Dave?
What part?
whatever you want, whatever you think about it. I just gave my quick synopsis of what I think is going to happen.
First off, I really like Okada being a heel. I think that caught people by surprise. I like him coming in, aligning himself with Matthew and Nicholas as part as the new EVPs. You know, you haven't really seen Okada as a heel over here in the States. And so I think that's going to add a new layer to his character and make him, he needs to be a little bit of a douchebag right now. So I think that's great. The contract. When you see those numbers, I heard 3 years, $14 million. I mean, we're talking semantics here. And you wonder, why didn't he end up in WWE? There's why. They were not going to pay him.
It was probably what do you think WWE have offered? I would say 2 to 4 years at about $2 million a year, maybe.
Maybe 8 to. They might have dabbled with thinking about 10 and extending that over like 3 years or something, maybe, but probably not. You're probably more in the. You know, we'll pay you $2-3 million a year for 2 years, that sort of thing. And you know, Tony obviously overpaid. And you know, you look at did you guys see the ratings for Dynamite came in while all this stuff was going on? They drew one of their lowest numbers of the year.
No one cares.
So it didn't make any difference. And that's the problem is, you know, you can keep paying these guys all this money. Like Tony's going to just keep writing these blank checks and it's going to get people over there. But, you know, unless it's a pay-per-view, People are not tuning into Dynamite.
Well, that's the thing, right? You can sell out Greensboro, 16,000 for Sting's retirement.
For Sting's last match,
right,
yeah.
Yeah, and you can sell all these tickets at Wembley because you don't get wrestling there all the time, right? Big-time wrestling. And you're going to sell out Boston if you got Sasha Banks in the fold.
I guarantee you a big number for Dynamite next week. And you know why? Because Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, people know her, and they don't know Okada.
How long until that the bloom wears off of that rose, though?
On Mercedes?
Yeah.
Oh, 2-3 months max?
AJ, jump in. We've been dominating the time here.
You're fun. You can dominate it all you freaking want. I absolutely hate the fact the only thing that I think is a positive is it brings the Rainmaker story full circle, because if people didn't know this, Kazuchika Okada came into TNA as Samoa Joe's little lackey doing a Green Hornet bit called Okado instead of
Joe. And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe. Sorry, I had to.
No, you're fine. But he was Okado and he didn't know any English really. But he overheard Generation Me at the time. It was like I don't remember the other one. It was like Nick and Jeremy Buck or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. But Generation Me, the Young Bucks, were talking about going to a club, and it's going to, and they're going to make it rain, or other people were saying it. And Okada was like, "What the fuck does that mean?" And it was like, "Well, they're just going to make money rain during the club with the dancers." So that's how the Rainmaker came to be for all of you guys out there. Everything else I fucking hate. I hate the fact he's in AEW.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna get a clip now somewhere of Tony back, finding the clip, recording
the tape.
It. Going,
hold on, yeah,
this is perfect. Everything else I fucking hate. But it's okay. $14 million for 3 years, you said, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great way to making money until AEW is gonna shut down because you're doing all these freaking Ted Turner contract.
AJ, what was the rumor on Sasha's contract? 5 years, $25 million?
Some shit like that.
So, I mean, you're talking, you're paying her $5 million a year. You're paying Okada what is that? 3 point something mil per year?
4 point something mil.
Yeah, I can't do math. That's a fucking lot of money. I mean, like I told Tony, that's live money right there that they're paying these guys. And I mean, it's absurd and it's obscene. And it's like, you cannot sustain a business with that kind of salary output. And you're not bringing in a live gate. You're not clearly not doing enough in merch sales to offset this shit. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but you're
like,
good.
You were saying they're going to go down, and you look at it just all your fan base. You can be the most diehard AEW stan out there. It doesn't matter if you're losing money at that kind of a clip. Sooner or later, Papa Khan's going to be like, that's it. We're done. Yeah.
I mean, hell, you heard me, Jason, and Tunney all say, we used to watch WCW all the damn time. They had $1 million contracts all across the board. Everyone wanted to match Hogan's contract, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and everything else. What happens when you have a year like 2000 for WCW where you're $65 million in the hole? That's what AEW.
Do you think, let me ask you guys, do you think these contracts are guaranteed? Because I do.
Yes, without a doubt.
You're dead in the water.
To an extent, Dave, to an extent. I would say like 70 to 75%, maybe, not fully guaranteed.
I hope that Tony's smart enough to give himself some sort of exit clause, but I don't know if he is.
I don't know either because, okay, looking at some of the top names that are in there, they most likely have guaranteed contracts. Like Edge, Christian, freaking Okada probably does because he's friends with the Bucks. Sasha probably has it too.
Omega.
If she's in there. Omega.
MJF probably got a guaranteed
probably
deal as well.
Adam Cole or everyone else from the formerly known as the Undisputed Era, because now they're all in All Elite. So it's just good for him for getting the money, but AEW, you are being so, so damn stupid. It's not even funny.
All right, guys, we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hit some trivia and a last call about a man who also dabbles in the 420 business style, and he's stepping back in the boxing ring. This is DWI 420 right here, Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
See, I didn't know since it was the 420 episode if you were still going to do the can crack or a bong rip.
I could have done this instead. I could have went like this.
Yeah, that works too. Like a bong rip probably would have been better. You know, just out of nowhere.
You need that
water bubbling over in the back.
I don't have a bong accessible at the moment.
That's fair. So,
druggy are you, man?
Tony, I alluded to you in our personal messages as to what
have
the list is going to be.
Have you ever sucked dick for marijuana? I didn't think so. Or however that line goes.
I seen him do it.
Yeah. Boo this man. Boo.
You ever seen the meme where when Bob Saget died, it was like the Grim Reaper's like, yeah, I was told that you were the best fictional uncle ever. And then he's walking off with him and it was like, did you actually suck dick for coke?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, we're going to do the list. Since it is WrestleMania season, we're going to have a list going on here.
Oh, boy.
With a little bit of a twist.
We got problems.
List with a twist. Woo.
List with a twist, because hopefully you guys know this in order, from the first to the last. No pressure whatsoever. But can you guys tell me all of Undertaker's WrestleMania opponents in chronological order?
Which time are you giving us?
I'll give you as much time as you want. Just
all right.
No cheating, you know. I'll start with Tunney since he looks either worried or he's just playing it off like I can bat 1,000 right fucking now.
Do we have to go in order or are we just trying to go in order?
I want it to be in order, but if you guys both fumble, we'll just go with the ones that you didn't go with or you didn't pick.
Well, the all first right. two you should have at your fingertips, yeah, Tony, because we just
talked about it. I know, I can't project. Remember. Don't listen to them. I can't remember who was first. I can't remember if Jimmy or Jake were first. I'll say Superfly was. I think Superfly was first.
Superfly was first.
Okay, thank
you. You have
Big Dave. Here's the next
and
one.
You have Jake the Snake at WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, I know that the next one's Giant Gonzalez.
Your favorite, Tony.
I hate that fucker. I like Tom Zenk, though. I like Tom Zenk.
No, we're not doing that again.
Well, I just did.
So he missed 10.
He skipped 10. And what was Bundy was 11?
King Kong Bundy was 11. Yep. Tony.
Diesel.
Big Daddy Cool in 96.
Sid was 13.
Yep. Tony. Oh,
God.
98.
Oh, Kane.
It's got to be. 14.
15 was Boss Man.
Yep, Notorious Christmas Ornament.
Now, is it... I'm not going to say that the two people I'm trying to think of. I'm pretty sure they're the next two.
Well, you can say...
No, I don't want to give the next answer, though. If I say it both, okay. I give the next answer. I think it's Hunter.
It is Triple H.
That was, what, 17, right?
That was 17, because he missed 2016. Yep.
Yeah, 18. Doesn't he take on like Big Show and Mark Henry or something?
Is that your guess?
He's something weird happened. It's at 18. Yeah, I'm gonna go Big Show and Mark Henry.
No, it's Flair's nope. next, and it was Big Show and A-Train after that.
Flair 18, Big Show, A-Train 19,
and then somewhere he fought Kane again, and then 20, we get into like.
Well, are these your guesses, Tony? You can keep going.
I'm just guessing. And then he got in. Did he fight? Okay, so if the Kane is Kane right?
Kane is 20. Yes.
So we got a ways. Is we
21.
Is that Test?
He never faced Test.
Oh, I thought he did. Okay, well, I'm out.
Wait, where's Flair's in here somewhere, right?
Flair was before Big Flair was Show 18. And Adrian.
Oh, Flair was 18? Okay, yeah. So he goes...
He does face Mark Henry. I don't think that's next, though. He beat Mark Henry.
He does face Mark Henry.
I know he beat Orton.
So Dave, do you want to pick it up from 18 since you said Flair?
Well, you guys talked about 19 was Big Show and A-Train.
Yep.
20's Kane.
20's Kane.
21 is the one I'm drawing.
Is it Henry or Orton? Those are the next two. Is Orton
but what order?
Orton then Henry, right?
Orton then Henry, yep.
So that's 21, that's 22.
Where are we to Shawn Michaels yet? God damn it.
23's Batista, right?
23 Batista.
I don't know.
Okay. 23 was Batista. We got that. 24.
Edge.
Yes.
Shawn.
Because it was
25 and 26.
Next
or Shawn.
Yeah.
Well, then it's Hunter Punk. There you go.
Well, I said all opponents. I didn't say the winning streak.
Oh, we got to keep
Hunter,
going.
Hunter Punk, Brock.
Brock. Bray.
Yeah.
AJ.
32? Shane was 32.
Okay. Then
33.
AJ. Roman.
34.
AJ?
Cena.
And then the last one that he faced.
AJ! I got that one!
we did all right there.
You wanna? Yeah. Can you run down the list again real quick, AJ?
Yeah, and I could do it without even looking at it. It is Superfly Jimmy Snuka, Jake the Snake Roberts, Giant Gonzalez via disqualification due to chloroform, Miss 10.
Is that chlorophyll? It's chlorophyll. Ooh, yeah, chlorophyll.
No, it's osmosis by photosynthesis, brother.
Synthetic respiration, yeah.
Where's my fucking fanny pack?
11 King Kong Bundy, 12 Diesel, 13 Sid, 14 Kane, 15 Big Boss Man, 17 Hunter, 18 when the streak was finally acknowledged at 10 Ric Flair, 19 A-Train and Big Show, 20 Kane, 21 Randy Orton, 22 Mark Henry, 23 Batista, 24 Edge, 25 and 26 Shawn Michaels, 27, 28 Hunter again. 29 Punk, 30 Lesnar, 31 Bray Wyatt, 32 Shane McMahon, 33 was Roman Reigns, 34 John Cena, and 36 in the Boneyard match against AJ Styles.
And now you know why AJ was in the bathroom at work for 45 minutes.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's spinal. Where's my Doritos? What's that? You want me to get in the ring and fight a kangaroo? Come on. All right, guys. It's been announced. Dave, I literally seen... Oh, I got to turn that up a little bit. There we go. I literally seen like a thing on my phone from Apple News, and I go to the DM to put it in there, and son of a bitch, you beat me to it this morning. Why don't you give everybody the big news?
Yeah, we're going to get Jake Paul taking on Mike Tyson in, what is it, July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. Shit. Jake wanted to fight some real competitive fighters, and he's going against a 57-year-old who's one of the most dangerous men in the history of boxing. What could possibly go wrong here for either guy, right?
I mean, everybody that I brought this up to right away at work, I went around and talked to all my buddies that I know that enjoy, like, would want to know about this. So, like, half dozen plus, they all said the same thing. What do you think that is? What do you think they all said immediately?
Tyson, who the fuck is Jake Paul?
No, they all, you're close. They said, I hope Tyson knocks Jake Paul out. They all said that. Mm. Everybody's rooting for Mike Tyson. The Paul brothers are brilliant businessmen, and what Jake Paul has done is not to be poo-pooed. I know they haven't made a lot of money up to this point, but the money they just got, it's all worth it now. The money they're getting for Netflix, this is huge for Netflix Live, by the way. Netflix is making a huge move to having live TV on their streaming service. It already started Dinner Time Live with David Chang, and I've told you about it for the last month and a half on Bandwagon Nerds. It's an amazing show. Even if you don't like cooking shows, check that out. The guests he has are amazing. So, do they? Here, I got questions for you. I'll start with AJ, and then Dave, you can run it up after that. A, how much do you think Mike Tyson is guaranteed for this fight? And B, do you think they sell out Cowboys Stadium?
That's the money one I'd have to really think about. They're definitely selling at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, but I'm probably going to say, like, maybe 10 million? Maybe? I don't know. I don't really know boxing numbers that much, but trust me, I'm going to watch this damn fight.
Let me tell you the number I threw out at Dave as we messaged back and forth this morning. I said, I'll bet you Tyson's guaranteed $250 million for this fight.
And that's when I said live money. There might very well be nine figures in the amount of money that Mike is getting guaranteed. I mean, if they sell out AT&T Stadium, the gate alone should take care of most of that. You know, never mind whatever Netflix is going to be. Netflix's biggest foray into live sporting events so far. And, you know, you're talking, by the time we get there, what, we're 6 months from Raw going to Netflix. So this is good. It's a good opportunity for them to test some things out, see what works, see what doesn't. Yeah, I would tend to agree with you, Tony. I think there's probably nine zeros attached to this number that Mike Tyson is getting to get him to get in the ring. And I think by the time we get to July, they'll be at a fever pitch because Jake knows what he's doing. Mike Tyson knows what the fuck he's doing, too. And Mike can market the shit out of a fight if he wants to. And I think he will get behind, you know, talking about, I'm going to eat his children. You know, and all that kind of shit. And I'm like, Jake doesn't have kids yet, Mike, but, or does he? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'll be tuning in. It's going to be a big event. I mean, a really, really big event. It's going to be Jake's biggest test so far. And I know I've only, like you're saying, most people I talk to were all of the opinion that if Mike takes this seriously and the fix is not in, he will probably knock Jake the fuck out. But there is a segment of people who think there is no way a 57-year-old man is going to be able to hang in there with a guy who punches as hard as Jake Paul does. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. But Jake's been beating the shit out of people who can't take a shot that Mike Tyson can.
What weight does Jake Paul fight at?
Got to be heavyweight, right?
I'll look it up real quick.
I am right now. Go ahead. Keep going.
I watched training videos of Mike from a year ago. And he still moves better than most of the fucking heavyweights who are out there.
He's now he's a cruiserweight.
So he actually fights at around 190, which is fine.
He better bulk up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get fucking demolished.
I don't think he should bulk up. I think he should get as lean and as quick as he possibly can and fight like Floyd Mayweather in this fight and piss everybody off. Tyson's just going to try and get inside if it's an actual fight. And one of the guys I talked to at work, who's actually still a huge boxing fan, despite a little bit of a decline, obviously from like the early to mid 1900s, but even more so from the 90s and early 2000s, which was still some good boxing going on, is that this isn't even a real fight. Jake Paul wants to be a real fighter. go fight a real fighter. Get in a division and work your way up. If you want to be a real fighter and you want actual respect. And I looked at him and I said, it's all a gimmick, brother.
Oh, yeah, he's playing a part the whole fucking way through. Like, I want to see this match because of the reasons why we alluded to before. I want to see Mike Tyson just break a tooth or five on Jake Paul. Or not, yeah, Jake Paul. And I just want to see it. Because for me, I know you guys have seen it, but for me, I've seen very little Mike Tyson. I've watched stuff, obviously, recording, but...
Honey, can you imagine Tyson in his prime before he went to prison fighting Jake Paul?
Oh, well, I mean,
30 seconds?
Well, that's not anybody in the world at that time was that long, you know, until he stupidly took a fight in Tokyo for no fucking reason whatsoever. But in all honesty, when you look back at it now, his life was falling apart at that time anyway. Well, so,
you know, this is what happens when you rape your wife, you know, that sort of problem.
America has a very forgiving heart for one Mike Tyson, to be honest with you.
They do.
And I'm a part of it. And I'm a part of it, to be honest. I don't want to be dishonest with you guys.
I don't think there's any chance. I mean, Jake can hit Mike as hard as he fucking can, right on the chin. It's not going to do anything.
I don't know about that. He's 57. He's 57.
The only thing I'm going to say is Jake Paul has the athleticism and the agility to dodge Mike's punches, but Mike said it before, obviously, in the 90s, but you just need one good punch, one really fucking hard punch to connect, and you have a plan until you get hit in the face.
Well, I think to Dave's point, and I think more so what you're trying to say is, he can knock him out, but it has to be a punch he doesn't see coming. If Mike Tyson sees even Jake Paul's hardest punch coming and it connects fully, it probably won't. It might knock him down, but it probably won't knock him out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
put it this way.
If it's a real fight, then I'll be interested to see what happens. If they're just going to do like Floyd versus Logan was, like, I got no interest in seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Let's put it this way. We're talking about it now. We're going to talk about it until then, and we're going to talk about it after it happens. So it's here to stay, and I bet you it's on 99.9% of wrestling podcasts that you listen to as well. This is a big story. Mike Tyson is a gigantic name what we cover. If you know, to me, even though wrestling is scripted and everything else, I kind of include it in a genre with boxing and MMA and things of that nature. I think they all go together. As far as
there's a healthy segment of the population who thinks all sports are scripted.
Sure.
So, hey.
And yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people that would have to be in on it. Considering how big some of these things are. Last thoughts on the entire show today, gentlemen. DP, get better soon. We missed you today. Thanks for getting me that list. I will talk to you shortly, brother. Any last thoughts today on the show, AJ? Anything that we covered?
I mean, we kind of hit it all on hammer, nail, hit head. I mean, I got nothing else really more to say.
Dave, any last thoughts? And then let us know where everybody can find you.
Ooh, a bunch of mouth-breathing synthetic respirators didn't give me enough fucking votes today. Yeah, that's all I got to say. You know, it was a good show. I mean, a great topic of conversation. High Flyer is always fun, always kind of unique as to people's takes on it and that sort of thing. And yeah, as far as where you can check me out on what's going on, you know, of course, Tunny, DJ, and I doing the Big Four Project. I am trudging through WrestleMania 9 as we speak. Tony, I'm trying to find something redeeming about this show because I was there.
I was about to say, what you could do is you could try to find yourself.
I kind of, you know, where I was sitting, but yeah, that's just not going to happen against that bright yellow fucking backdrop with the sun over. No, not happening. But it's tough, man. It's not a good show.
I got to say. Thankfully, our next recording is about SummerSlam and not WrestleMania.
SummerSlam 92 going to be the next installment of the Big Four Project. So we're a little ways away from WrestleMania 9. But I've got a theory because I'm like, why the fuck did Vince book this so badly? And we will wait till we get there because I will tell you my theory and I'm pretty sure I might be right. But until then, you can follow me on the platform known as Twix, which used to be Twitter. Now it's called X, at Macho Man was robbed. That is my new handle.
Man.
You can find me at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/ Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude Aggression, Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and on Threads.
And don't forget about at Bandwagon Nerds as well. AJ.
Yes.
Can't hear anything.
What? I'm sorry. You can follow me at Phenomenal.
Oh, geez.
AJB.
Here we go. You're AJB, are you coughing?
All caps. You can follow me at Phenomenal AJB. AJB in all caps. Don't forget, we're not just podcast galore. We are articles galore. Sports, entertainment, you name it. We got it on thechairshot.com.
You can follow DP at It's Me DPP. Follow the show at Podcast DWI on Twitter and Podcast at and DWI Podcast on Facebook. That's DP's job. Fuck him for not being here. No, I love you, buddy. Follow me at PC Tunney. Make sure you're checking out everything Chairshot Radio Network on all of your favorite streaming platforms. I apologize for maybe it is 420. I don't know. What? Is that a bird? It's a plane? Why was that guy so excited when he said it's a bird? Here's a joke for you. There's a young gentleman sitting at the bar. He's in his mid-20s, and he's going to get married the next weekend. And he looks down the bar, and there's an older gentleman with a ring on his finger, so he assumes he's married. And he looks down, and he says, "How long you been married?" And the guy says, 49 years. And he goes, "Well, what's the secret?" And he goes, "Well, young man, two things. One, you always treat your woman with respect, no matter what. And two, you take them on great trips, okay? Like for our 25th anniversary, I took her to China. And next year, I'm going to pick her up."
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.